President Trump lands at Davos. What do world leaders want to tell him?
Thinking about the world as them and us is wrong.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. President Trump's plane has landed at the World Economic Forum in Davos. The BBC's Michelle Hussein has been asking world leaders what they'd ask the president if they had 2 minutes with him.
If I met President Trump in a corridor, I would say that free trade is something and globalization is something that the world needs.
Mateusz Morawiecki, Prime Minister of Poland, you've got 2 minutes with President Trump. What would you say to him?
More secure world means less imbalanced world.
Thinking about the world as them and us is wrong. It is really about us.
You're hearing there from Norway's foreign minister, the Polish prime minister, and the former deputy governor of the Bank of England. Well, another big business leader at Davos, JP Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, has been speaking to the BBC. First, about the criticism that the president is anti-global trade.
I think he's raised a lot of legitimate issues about trade. Some NAFTA, which needs to be modernized, which I hope they do. I'm very pro-trade. And then some about China and the rest of the world, tariffs, non-tariff barriers, intellectual property, lack of reciprocity. Those are legitimate issues. I think he's quite serious about getting fairer trade deals for America.
Mr. Dimon also gave his impressions of the current darling of Europe, French President Emmanuel Macron.
He is very pro-business. He's pro-Europe. He wants to get wages up. He wants more labor flexibility, knowing that it creates better jobs and more employment. He's pro-capital. He's pro-regulatory reform. And he knows they have to reduce some of the bureaucracy. You know, some of the things that drove the Brits crazy about EU, he wants to fix the EU. Here is a man. He's 39 years old. He formed his own party and won a majority. I think he's been in office for 8 months. He's already passed on the labor reform. He's surrounded himself with some very smart people, not all from his own party, which I think is also a good thing in some cases. And so, yeah, I think he's shocking change from before.
Yeah, it seems like it's a real rapid change in the perception.
If you had this before, you know, might have had Britain staying in and helping do the same things to reform the things in the EU that the British people were uncomfortable with.
And on that British question, before the referendum, you were talking about 4,000 out of 16,000 JP Morgan jobs going, then dialed that down to a few hundred. I think we're in the 500 to 1,000 sort of range now of jobs being moved or created outside the UK. What is the real picture here?
We don't have to make as much change as we thought. We have licenses and people in Germany, France, Spain, Ireland, etc. We have to beef it up. We have to add capital. We have to do a bunch of stuff. But it's not a huge movement of people. The real determinant is what happens in the law when the negotiations are done. And that will determine what the number is. We would like to leave it just the way it is. We love London. We love working there. We've got, as you pointed out, a lot of people there. It's huge efficiencies for us. But if they determine that you can't have, you know, reciprocal trade practices, reciprocal regulations, it'll be bad in those jobs.
And How many?
I don't know.
Thousands?
It would be a lot, yeah.
4,000?
It would be more than 4,000.
Jamie Dimon speaking to the BBC's Simon Jack in Davos as the British Prime Minister prepares to speak today. Let's do the numbers. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin at a Davos panel clarified today he fundamentally believes in the strength of the dollar. The remarks come amid chatter of a looming currency war after he said yesterday that a weaker greenback would be good for trade. That sent the dollar to a three-year low. The U.S. traditionally does not intervene in currency markets. The British government says by 2021, every major city will cut plastic waste with water refilling stations or good old-fashioned water fountains. It's urging retailers to cut waste too. Here's one London shop that's completely plastic free.
And then you can pull the lever and then the product falls down and then it controls exactly the amount you want.
My name is Ingrid Calderoni and we are at Bulk Market, London's zero waste shop. People can bring their own containers like Tupperwares, jars, or they can use the paper bags that I provide in the shop. I have spices, I have polenta, I have pasta and hygiene products which are really difficult to get plastic free. And some DIY stuff. People can make their own lotions, they can experiment. I am a zero waste shop, but my suppliers, they are not zero waste. So what I try to do is to shorten the supply chain, because this way I can work with local people and they're more willing to step into it. And as an example, the coffee I store, I just get a big box with a lid. I go to the roastery and then he fills the box with the coffee beans. I bring it back to the shop. Once it's finished, I go back and refill the box, so I don't have any plastic packaging. Waste for me, it's a really poor design. Things are not designed to be circular. Like, why are you using plastic, which is a material made to last hundreds of years, to use once and toss in the bin?
Ingrid Calderoni. Well, Virginie Helias is head of global sustainability at Procter & Gamble, which owns brands like Crest, Dawn, Pampers and Tide. It's pledged to cut the weight of plastic per consumer by 20% in the next 2 years. I asked her if that really makes any impact.
When you sell the number of bottles that we sell, you know, we're touching 5 billion people in the world have PNG packaging in their home. So a few grams that you can shave off the bottle has actually a major impact. Another way to do it is actually to make it fully recyclable and to use recycled material.
Do you think there's ever a time when big manufacturers will be able to go towards a completely plastic-free existence?
When you look at the life cycle assessment of plastic versus glass or other material, it's the lightest. So in terms of carbon footprint, it has a very good profile. What we don't want is plastic in the wrong place and too much plastic. And it's exactly why we are working on reducing the weight, on making it recyclable, on working in the infrastructure and the consumer education.
Virginie Helias, head of global sustainability at Procter & Gamble. Finally, a controversial Indian film is released today. After months of protest from hardline Hindu groups, the film Padmavat tells the story of a 14th century Hindu queen and a Muslim ruler. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.